Thank you for your faithfulness, the faithfulness of your word, the faithfulness of your presence, the faithfulness of your power, the faithfulness of your spirit. Truly, we can testify that you never let us go. So close. And therefore, we enter your word now with reverence, being fully conscious of our human limitations, to deliver the infinite wisdom of God that is compressed into this written word. Therefore, we need supernatural assistance and help. Consequently, we ask for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, and indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. And I pray that you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me. Those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, this word will have free course, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in more than sufficient measure. So follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men to become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery, that I might do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word, indeed things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual life, said,
Amen.
Amen. Today I have a continuation of my messages for the nation. And today I will be speaking on subduing of the nations. This is not just for Nigeria. This is general. A few weeks ago, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, I was teaching here in church, and I mentioned what had happened in Ireland. Ireland has just passed some kind of a referendum, you know, legalizing homosexual marriages. And certainly we were scandalized, my wife and I, my wife in particular, coming from a Catholic background. Well, I was very scandalized because over the years, Ireland has always been a very conservative, religiously conservative country. And so for that to happen in a place like Ireland shows you the degree of the moral depravity and decadence that the world has slipped into. More ominous is the fact that people see it as right. That is the really frightening part. Let me contrast two things. And in America, these two things are mixed up. After the Civil War in 1865, Abraham Lincoln gave what is known as the Proclamation of Emancipation of the black slaves, and all black people were free from slavery. 1963, Martin Luther King Jr., speaking at the Lincoln Memorial, you know, gave that famous speech, "I Have a Dream," and in there he said, "The Negro is still not free." 100 years later, this was proclaimed in 1863. It was 1963. The Negro is still not free. You know, he said, "How can the Negro be free when he walk, you know, when he's traveling from maybe New York and he's going to Virginia and he can't stop in any hotel. Can't stop in any hotel. He can't stay in a hotel. He can't stop in the hotel and sleep there because it's whites only. He can't sit in the. He cannot sit on a seat in the park, you know, in Central Park in New York. Well, New York wasn't so bad, but it was, you know, it was worse in the south, in Georgia or in Atlanta. Years ago, when my wife and I went to Atlanta, our first trip together to the U.S., you know, and this is 89, you know, we stayed with some friends, Pastor Tuff, he's preached here before, you know, and they were driving us around town. And they said, Pastor, you won't believe it. Just a few years ago, I couldn't come here. I couldn't drive here. I couldn't drive to this place we just passed now. So that we couldn't come here. And so, segregation and racial discrimination was morally wrong. But the thing, the difference today is this. Even then, they knew it was wrong. Even the whites who were involved in racial segregation didn't truly believe it was right. They didn't believe it. They enjoyed the perks of being able to look down on the Negro and all of that, but deep down they didn't believe it. They did not. They were ashamed. Many white people, and that's why you see later on the civil rights movement, you know, a lot of white people started sympathizing with them, and then it gained momentum, and then finally, you know, Lyndon B. Johnson passed, you know, the law for the Negroes to be able to vote and all of that. But the important thing is this: morally speaking, everybody was on edge, you know, about racial segregation, but not so with this homosexuality. We are facing a serious problem here. Because homosexuality is unnatural. It is unnatural. And when people have come to the place where they have convinced themselves that it is okay, and like it's they compare it to, you know, they see it as a civil rights issue. That just as you don't discriminate against blacks, you should not discriminate against homosexuals. Then we know we have a big problem. An enemy has done this. And this is the mindset, sadly, of the average person in the West today. And I say the West, I'm talking about America, England, and, you know, the Western Hemisphere. It was President Obama, sadly, who said he was evolving in his thinking. How can you evolve negatively? His thinking, he evolved. He wasn't like that before. He didn't believe it. Then over the years, his thinking was evolving. Then he finally, sadly, came to a place where he said, aha, okay, it's okay now. You know, okay. The person that evolved that thinking is the devil. But the danger between it and the civil rights thing is that in the civil rights thing, people knew it was wrong. Even way back, I'm talking about way back, you know, at the founding fathers of America. People like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and others, you know, they didn't like slavery. Now it was an economic benefit, but deep down they didn't like it. Many of the good Americans who were even slave owners who didn't like it treated their slaves properly. They wrote those things. My wife is quoting. They, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and have a right. So it was something everybody agreed, but, you know, because of the economic benefit and all that. But this one is a terrible one. It's coming from the other side of the spectrum. It's gross darkness. This was what the Bible was talking about. It is gross. It's not just darkness, so it's gross darkness. Because they have now accepted it. Can you imagine legislating immorality? And then those that want to do the right thing are now considered a prey. Oh, yes, oh. Thank God for Nigeria. Everybody give Nigeria a clap offering. We may not be very civilized though, but only work pay adupelo along. In our language, that means our head is correct. You know, we may not be as I don't even want that kind of sophistication that will not make your head correct. Amen. You know, it's just natural. You just know. Amber, God forbid bad thing. You know, how can you go? No. You know, but here we have a problem. It's a big problem. And sadly, people don't understand that its root is spiritual. That darkness is not a natural darkness. How can the whole president of the free world say his thinking was evolving? Somebody was putting a wrong thought in his mind. The Bible says in the book of Romans, it says when they chose not to put God in their thinking, God gave them up to a reprobate mind. That's the evolution. It's a negative evolution. Romans chapter 1. I'll come back here in a minute. I'm talking about subduing the nations. We're going to get in a minute. I'm not talking to anybody here. Romans, right. Now, move back. Move back a little bit, you know. Ah, yes, this is good. Now, go back a little bit. Go to 24, 22. I just, you know, we're not going to read everything because of time. Look at 21. There's a place I'm looking for. Good. Here it is. Because. Everybody open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Because. That when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Stop. What's Paul talking about? How do you glorify God as God? You know, if you accept that God is God, then you give him, they give honor to whom honor is due. So if I say, yes, there is God, and he is God, then I have to give him honor. And say, if you said this, then I have to submit. You know, when you honor somebody, you naturally do what they say. Isn't that right? But why you know that there is God, but then you don't glorify him as God. You are treating him like an equal. That's the truth. God has his opinion, I have mine. Who are you? It's the truth. And you know the funny thing, the hypocritical thing I find is that they will now take one part of the Bible and leave another part of the Bible. You want to use to say the same Bible you are quoting, you know, and when you're honoring veterans and you say the servant is the greatest, and you talk about the Bible in Easter, you talk about the Bible in Christmas, and say it's the greatest story in the world. The same, you now come to that same Bible, now says this is wrong, and then you say you evolved out of it. An enemy has done this. That's why the church must subdue the nations. The Yoruba people say, "Konshoju lason." That means it is, the literal translation is that it's not something you can just see with your naked eye. But the real meaning is that there's a spiritual power behind it. It's unnatural. And Obama ordinarily is a nice guy. Don't misunderstand me. I have nothing against him. You know how much we prayed for him. And I love him. I love his family. But, you know, what is wrong, brethren. You know, and thank God I'm in Nigeria. You know, instead, you have to, if anybody has it and can send it to him, I'll be happy. I'm not attacking the person. This is glorify God as God. I didn't write these words. The civil rights movement didn't write these words. The conservatives in the South, they didn't write these words. These were written by the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago by the Holy Ghost. We can't take one part and leave one part. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. Are you listening to me? And the church needs to talk. Exactly. They're trying to gag the church. Now, if you don't marry gay people or something, they will take your license. Oh, yes. Pastors are locked up. Because you're not gay friendly. God forbid. Everybody, give Nigeria another clap offering. Lie, lie. I remember when we were children, you know, we say lie, lie. It can never happen in Nigeria. Give the Lord another clap offering. Lie, lie. You know, the church in Nigeria has woken up. We may have a lot of other problems, but we have woken up. There's a Danny. Thank you, darling. You hit the nail on the head. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. You look at the evolution. This is an evolution. The word evolution, just a big word, means change. Alright? Look at it. They didn't glorify God. They were not thankful, so they evolved. Can you see the evolution? It was a change. So they became vain in their imaginations, and the foolish heart was darkened. Meaning it used to be enlightened. For this is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It was originally enlightened. But this wrong evolution, this wrong attitude, caused a degradation of the heart. And then it went from a state of enlightenment to a state of darkness. Hence, gross darkness. Is it clear? Now, jump to the last verse. I think verse 28. Where it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a what? Reprobate mind to do the things that are not convenient. What's the next verse? Being filled, blah, 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 move down. We're talking about, there's a place where it hits it there. These are all the bad things that are all going on in the world. But, go back to, I think, verse 25. Up to 25, I think 25 or 26, where he says 24. Thank you, darling. We got it. Just figure on that. Yes. Wherefore? God also gave them up. May God not give up on you. Let me say it in Yoruba. There's something about Yoruba. You know Yoruba, we're so like the Jews. Ore oni sun Olorun. Oron la ni o.
Yes, sir.
Kogbodo sun Olorun o le sun won oran yin oni sun won oran nla ni o. Are you listening to me? God must not get tired of you and then give you up. Give it to me in the Amplified. Mom says beautiful in the Amplified, but let's just take 24. Wherefore God gave them up in the lusts of their own hearts. Read the Bible. There's nothing wrong in reading the Bible. Are you listening to me? In the lusts of their own hearts to what? Sexual impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, abandoning them to the degrading power of sin. There's one place where it says, men walking with men. Things that are unseemly. Where is it? Which verse is that, darling? Where it says, men walking with men. Things that are, and men also. Taunt your neighbors. It is not Pastor Olubio. It is Apostle Paul. If you want to go and arrest anybody, go and arrest Paul. No, thank God for the Bible. Because I say, what is your problem? I say, go and arrest Paul. And the men also turn from natural relations with women
and were set ablaze, burning out, consumed with lust for one another, men committing shameful acts with men, and suffering in their own bodies and personality. It does not only affect your body, it affects your mind, it affects your will, it affects your emotions, and it turns you into a crazy person. It totally distorts the human personality. Hallelujah. He says, men so same suffering and the inevitable consequences and penalty for their wrongdoing going astray, which was their fitting retribution. I didn't write these words. The Bible is stronger than I'm preaching it. Yes, oh. I'm preaching it, but the Bible is actually stronger than I am. Where am I going to? We must subdue the nations, oh, because gross darkness has entered. It's not coming, oh, it's here. You know what they did with this verse? They legislated it. This has now become law. Tells you the kind of problem we have. This thing, this verse that we have read, our so-called advanced nations have now said that God, mind your business, you don't know anything. We know more than you, and what you have said here now, we have made it a law in our country. It's okay to do it. In fact, people who talk about people who don't do it will be jailed. That's not just darkness, it's gross darkness. We've crossed the other side. And so the church must come to the rescue. Let's go back to Isaiah 60 now. Mercy, oh! See, when you are praying, you know what you are praying about. You know this Mickey Mouse prayer. We have to... And the thing about darkness is that the only way darkness increases is if the light is going down. Once the church stops talking because of what we eat, for the entrance of his word gives light. And then when the church then the light goes down. Now when the light goes down, then the darkness will get stronger. But that will not happen here in Jesus' name. Hence this message. Behold, darkness. I didn't hear you. When you are talking the word of God, don't talk as if your mouth is paining you. Because that same mouth, now, immediately after the service, you'll be talking with your friend. Couldn't you say the same thing when you are talking the word of God? Hello, somebody. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But thank God there's an answer. But the Lord shall arise. Now, this is the essence of this message. How is the Lord going to arise? Shall we now ask a rhetorical question? How come the Lord has not arisen while this darkness was increasing? Let's ask it. Let's say it another way. Paraphrase it another way. How did we get to this point? The church was sleeping. And still sleeping in so many places. Hence this message. The church must subdue the nations. This is prophesied and spoken of in Psalm. Give me Psalm 2. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 2. And just focus on verses 8 and 9 very quickly. Psalm 2. This is prophetic. David is speaking prophetically of Christ and the church. You know, at the beginning he says, why did the heathen rage? Let's go to verse 1. We'll come back to verse 8 in a minute, but because of time. The word heathen there, give this to me in the Amplified or the New International. He says, why do the nations, everybody open your mouth, assemble with commotion, uproar, and confusion of voices. Why do the people imagine, meditate, and devise upon an empty scheme? How can you legislate against the word of God? It's an empty scheme. It will not stand. Amen. Are you listening to me? Why do the nations assemble with commotion? The nations, and that's what's happening now. But God now tells us the answer. I'll quickly jump to verse 8 now, because of time. Ask of me. See, God is now challenging the church. And he's speaking prophetically to Christ, firstly. But it's not really Jesus who's going to do this. Jesus, you see, folks, don't you know, but Jesus has done his part. And he has sat down. You don't sit down until you have done your part. Are you listening to me? At the moment, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. Now, the feet are not in the head, they are in the body. So it is the church that is going to make the enemy the footstool. Is this clear? So this is not really to Jesus. Jesus has done his part. He's done his own part. His own part now that is left. Now he says, ask of me. God is talking to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is talking to you. God is talking to me. Ask of me. And I will give you the nations as your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth as your possession. These nations are inheritance, but we haven't yet inherited them. You know, God took the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. And this same thing he told us now, he told them then. He said, I have given you all the land. Every place that you set your foot upon, you know, it is yours. But there were still giants in the land. The walls of Jericho were still there. Hello? Even from Deuteronomy, you know, when they were still, after they had crossed, you know, when they were leaving Egypt and all that, God always said, I've given you the land. Ask of me, I've given you the nations. But we must possess it. It's true, God has given it to us. Just like God had given the land of Canaan to the children of Israel, but they still had to engage the Anaks. They still had to engage the Jebusites and the Amalekites and all the people who were in the land. They had to engage them. They had to destroy them. They had to send them out, and then they had to occupy the land. It was not automatic because God said it. Are you listening to me? It was promised, but the promise had to be acted upon to become a reality. And that's where we are today. God has given us the nations. America is ours. Say, America is ours. England is ours. Ireland is ours. Ireland is ours. Ireland is ours. And the nation that is our own will not legislate immorality in Jesus' mighty name. It's all ours. Yeah, but you're not Irish. Haven't you read? He's given us all the nations of the earth, the uttermost parts of the earth for our possession. I love this man. His name is John Wesley. The guy who started the Methodist Church. You know, they kicked him out of the church. It was Church of England, you know, Anglican, what we call Anglican. His father was a priest. So the two boys, John and Charles Wesley, they got born again when they were in school. They were in Oxford, you know. And he now came back, you know, and I preaching this fiery gospel in his father's church. They all the priests are there, just like they did Jesus in Nazareth. They all grabbed him by the hand and gave him the left foot of fellowship and said, you can't preach that in this church. You know what John Wesley did? I don't know if you've read the story. You need to read about these great men of God. It'll inspire you. In those days, and still now, you see in a lot of Anglican churches, they used to bury the people outside the church. You know, you see the burial ground just next to the church. So his father's tomb was outside the church. So when the priest told him to get out, John Wesley took his Bible and went onto his father's tomb. He said, at least you cannot tell me not to stand. And continue his preaching. And you know what he said? He said, the world is my parish. My parish is beyond this, your little church. And today the Methodist church is spread tentacle. He said, the world is my parish. The world is our inheritance. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. The uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. The church must not rest until the influence of God has come upon every nation. I'm going to explain that in a minute. Wants to subdue the nations. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. Paul, thank God for Paul. Honey, what would we do without Paul, no? Who? Paul is talking about the heroes of faith. You know, today everybody wants to use faith for Cadillac, faith for Maserati, faith for, you know, Rolls Royce, faith for house in Lekki, faith for Cocoa Beach, Florida. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. No, but God says, please, Mbok, I beg you, use your faith to subdue your nation. That's what this scripture is saying. Who through faith? If you really have faith, subdue Nigeria. If you really, I want to see the real faith. If you have faith, subdue Ireland. If you have faith, subdue the U.S. Hallelujah. Who has ever heard such a thing? How can you subdue a nation? Oh, yes, you can. And we must. And we will. We just want to start using our faith properly. You see, the first place you use your faith for is to save your own soul. You see, once you have saved your own soul, then you can subdue the nations. You cannot subdue the nations if you have not saved your own soul. And that's why God is taking us through this perfection route. As the church grows into perfection and all that, then we now have power. Once we've dealt with ourselves, we can then deal with the nations. And we're on the threshold of that now. Hence this prophetic message. Who through faith subdued kingdoms? Just stop there because of time. Go to look at the Amplified Bible. Who by the help of faith subdued kingdoms? Now, we're doing a little bit of an English lesson here. When do you need to subdue something? When it is out of hand, isn't it? You know, I cannot talk about subduing something. I have to subdue something that is rebellious, that is trying to. Why do the heathen rage? And the people, so now that we have seen that they have risen against the word of God, we have to subdue them. Is it clear? Is it clear? They have risen. It's not hidden anymore. They are taught against the counsel of God in this particular area and in other areas too. But in this particular area, legislating immorality. The time and the hour has come when we have to subdue them all. We have to bring them down. And it's going to be by the force of spiritual arms. It's not a physical. This one, you cannot win this one with atom bomb. Hello? Or F-16s or F-18s or F-35s. You can't win this with physical warfare. These are spiritual weapons. But we must subdue the nations. Are you listening to me? So it is time, the church must now, this is a prophetic message, you know, so we're going to see these things as unfold next 6 months, a year, 2-3 years ahead. Now, we're going to see nations actually subdued. And I have practical examples. And my wife just caught it by the Spirit. In the book of Daniel, you see God subdue Nebuchadnezzar. He said, excellent. You know, Nebuchadnezzar was not subject to God. Yes, he wasn't. He took the people from Israel. He took all the gold from the house of God. You know, put them in his house of his gods. You know, made them slaves and all that. Then he made an image of gold and said, everybody bow to my gold. That's the nations, the heathen raging. Are you listening? Thank you, Lolade. An unrighteous decree. They were legislating idolatry. Just like today. Legislating what is wrong. He made it a decree. An unrighteous, this thing they've done in Ireland and many of those countries, they are unrighteous decrees. And what is the church going to do? Bow? God forbid. God forbid. Are we going to cow? Are we going to bow? I read after some lovely pastors in America recently. They said we are going to do what's called civil disobedience. You see, during the civil rights movement, there was a woman called Rosa Parks. This was 1953. And in those days, the Negroes were supposed to sit at the back of the bus and the white man sits in front. One day, that woman just got tired. Nobody told her to do it. She didn't know Martin Luther King Jr. She didn't know anybody. She was just an ordinary woman. You know, she was working in a shop. You know, she's just a shop attendant or something. No special person. It must be God. She just went to sit where the white people were sitting. The conductor said, "Now, ma'am, you want to get yourself to the back because, you know, the law says this place is only for white folks. And so, ma'am, please go to the back." She did as if she didn't hear. The guy said, "Ma'am, this bus ain't going to move if you don't move to the back. You want me to call the cops? If you don't move, I'm going to call the cops." She did as she did here. She just sat down there. It's called civil disobedience. Disobedience to an unrighteous decree. And that's how the civil rights movement started. They came, they took the woman, put her in handcuffs, took her to the something. Then all the black people boycotted the buses. For weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, you know, and that's where they made the money from. It was the black people who were making the money to keep the bus company afloat. And then it went to court, and that's when Martin Luther King was still a young pastor then, you know, took up the cause and everything. You know, they won. They won, and that was one of the first victories. They desegregated the buses. Said they were walking to work. They won't enter your bus. They were suffering. It was difficult for them. But they sacked her at her work. But it didn't matter. They were all walking. All the Negroes were walking. They were all walking to their workplaces from their houses. They won't enter the buses. So long as they segregated, they won't enter. They brought that thing to the knees. And they won through civil disobedience. So shall it be today. We will not obey an unrighteous decree. I know it can't happen in Nigeria. Thank God for Nigeria. God forbid bad thing. You know, come and marry man and man. In which church? I like our people. Even as I said it, all the bread I just said like that. Ah! God forbid bad thing. Marry man and man. Marry man and woman. In the name of who? So Nebuchadnezzar said unto Sir, "Everybody must bow." Shivra Misha and Abednego, "And put this fire. I'll kill you." They're advanced Christians. May God help us advance. They had got to the place where they don't love their life unto the death. They told the king, even the fire did not frighten them. You know, most of us, even by the time we see the fire, bro. And then the people heat it up 7 times hotter. Say, "Brethren, God knows your heart. Shall bow." Especially if the wife and the children are there, say, "Ofer pa mi o, ma e ko ni koko ba o ni, eh, ya o nbe e omo lo wa nle, e ki, eh, e raba o bro." But you know that's what we do. Sadly, we're so quick to compromise. And that's why we don't win. No one says they overcame it by the blood. Though, and they love not. Those boys proved it. They said, okay, we're not careful. Oh. And that's why, you know, this thing I'm preaching, I'm not careful to preach it. Oh, yes, so. Because the word of God is solidly behind me. I'm not preaching against anybody. I have nobody, you know. President Obama, everybody here knows I love Obama. My Obama's picture is still by my wife's bed. So you are, yes, you know, we don't know him. Don't know him from Adam. What we care is the word of God and the will of God to be done. Pray for him to be elected. Pray for him to be re-elected, because we believe God has a purpose. Amen. So it's not personal. But what is wrong is wrong. Are you listening to me? So Nebuchadnezzar said, put the thing in your boil. Put the boys inside the fire. To cut it long, so we all know the story. But that's not really where I'm going. The boys came out of the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar said, ah, now I know. What did they do? They subdued him. Who through faith subdued kingdom? Did everybody in Babylon become a Christian? No. But they subdued. That's what we're going to do. We will subdue the kingdoms so that they will not give unrighteous decrees. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. Quickly. Verse 37. We're going to subdue these boys. Nonsense. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven. I didn't hear you. The King of Heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. I want to ask a rhetorical question. How did Nebuchadnezzar know God had abased him? He had been subdued. Give the Lord a clap offering. We will use our faith now. We have faith for healing, faith for prosperity. Those are elementary faith. We are not moving to advanced level. We are now going to use faith to subdue the nations. To subdue the nations. Are you listening to me? You see the same thing because of time. You see it in Esther. You see it in Ezra. In Ezra, in chapter 6, he said, when they get there, he said, anything they need, he said, give them all. The king made a decree. If they want oil, if they want grain, if they want to, you know, anything for the offering of the house of the God of heaven, only let it be done to these men speedily. They subdued that kingdom. He says, and anything they want, that they may pray for the life of the king and his sons. For why should there be wrath? They had heard what happened in Babylon, and they did not want a repetition in Persia. It must come to a place where they are afraid of our God. They may not all accept him, but they will be afraid of him. You know, and then they will leave him alone. They leave us alone. They won't come out. They won't try it. Think anybody can bring homosexual law to Nigeria? It's not possible. Not with the kind of Christian influence and the way we are praying now. You try. In fact, praise the Lord. You see the same thing in Esther. When after they had dealt with Haman, God, you know, the Ahasuerus said, write the decree as you people like. Write it as you like. Ezra chapter, I think it's chapter 8. Thank you. Verses 7 and 8. Esther. This is subduing the nations. Esther chapter 8. Verses 7 and 8. And then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hands upon the Jews. Verse 8. Write ye also. For the Jews, as it liketh you. That's old English. Give this to me in the Amplified. Write also concerning the Jews as it pleases you. They subdued the kingdom. This is a heathen kingdom. This is not David. This is not Israel. This is an unbeliever kingdom. This is just like Ireland or US or Nigeria or any secular kingdom. He said, as you people, as your God likes it, echo. no unrighteous decree. Now, the issue is, how is this going to be done? Two quick scriptures that we'll just quickly look at and we close. See, the problem now is gross darkness. You must see that thing as a spiritual force. That's why I use the example of President Obama, and what I have said is public information. It's not something I'm saying, you know, because he himself said it, and it's all over the news media. He didn't start like that. He said he evolved. He said he evolved. The question is, who caused the evolution? How did that thinking, that mindset change? We looked at it in the book of Romans. So how do we reverse it? By putting the word of God, the light of God, into the air so that the light would dispel the darkness. Let's go back to Isaiah. Isaiah 60. We'll see this. Jesus help me. It says, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But, everybody shout it, the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his what? Glory shall be seen. Not perceived, though, seen. It is the glory of God that is going to subdue the nations. It is the glory of God that is going to dispel the darkness. Verse 3. Go to the New International Version. I think I like that one there. Nations will come to what? Your light. And kings, these kings whose hearts have been darkened, will come to the brightness of your dawn. Verse 4. Lift up your eyes. I didn't hear you. Look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your nations, your sons from afar, your daughters carried on the arm. Go to the Amplified here. Lift up your eyes round about you and see. They all nations gather themselves together. They what? Come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be carried and nursed in the arms. Talking about spiritual children that God is going to bring by the Holy Spirit into the church. Verse 5. Then you shall see. I didn't hear you. And be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and tremble with joy at the glorious deliverance, and be enlarged, because the abundant wealth of the Dead Sea shall be turned to you, and unto you shall the nations come with their treasures. Isn't that what happened in Persia? Isn't that what happened when he said, told Ezra, don't give them anything they want? They were afraid of the church. They were afraid of the God of Israel. Psalm 102, verse 15. Jesus help us. As you see, that's why all these things are all tied together. Prayer for the release of the Spirit without measure, manifestations of the sons of God, the glory of God. As we pray, we're not talking about that today, because I spoke about that the other day when we were talking about turning away from our wicked ways. As the church prays and the power and the glory of God is made manifest, it will subdue the nations. It will subdue. All this nonsense will disappear. Mark my word. Rubbish and nonsense. Legislating. Hallelujah. Exactly. He said, listen, Anami. Legislating nonsense. It will the thinking will revolve back. Amen. Glory be to God. Did Nebuchadnezzar's thinking revolve back? He said, there is no God like the God of Israel. Now I make a decree. If anybody speaks anything amiss the God of Shadrach, Meshach, let his heart be made a donkey. The decree just changed. The thinking too changed. Give the Lord a clap offering. What nonsense. We will reverse the thinking by the glory of God. Look at it. So shall, give it to me in the Amplified. So the nations shall fear and worshipfully rever the name of the Lord. And look at this. All the kings of the earth, your glory. What will make them afraid? The glory. What made Nebuchadnezzar afraid? The glory. He said, did we not put three men in the fire? He said, now I see a fourth man. Where did he get revelation knowledge from? He didn't have a Bible. In the Old Testament, he didn't even call him an angel. He said, like the Son of God. Who told Nebuchadnezzar? You know, when God comes down, all the nonsense and the mind was now sharp. It's God. Immediately his thinking revolved. Their thinking will revolve. The glory of God. You see, nobody has an answer to the glory. The reason why all this darkness is because the church is not, we're producing some light, but it's not much. You know, if you reduce this thing, this place will get darker. There will still be light. It's just that you won't be able to see very well, you know. The initiative is never with darkness, it's with light. Yeah, so, that's why they're doing all the nonsense that they're doing. There's light in the church, but the light is not much. You know, so they can afford to ignore your light and walk in there. If it's night now, and I'm in this corner of the church, and all this place is dark, and I put on my mobile phone, a small touch light, I will have light in that section. But the guy who is down there, you understand? That light cannot help him to see what's going on there. He can still be stumbling into chairs and everything. There is light, but it's not bright. So most of the people in the world that are a little bit remote from us, they're still walking in darkness. But you put a floodlight there. Are you listening to me? And put it on full intensity, and this whole place will go on light. And in his light we will see light. And the light will dispel the darkness. And the darkness will not be able to comprehend it. Are you listening to me? Let us pray, brethren, for the glory of God to subdue the nations. Let us pray. Talk to God. This is it. It's the glory of God that's going to subdue the nations. There will be no place for darkness to hide. He's hiding now because we have light, but the light is just one small touch light in our little church in one corner. Yeah, but the rest of the world is in darkness. Gross, not ordinary darkness. The Bible is extremely graphic. It says gross darkness. And you can see it, saw it from Romans. Their foolish mind became darkened. They changed the truth of God into a lie. Men walking with men, things that are unseemly. The day we saw that thing about Ireland, my wife was, she opened her mouth for minutes. Hey, honey, Ireland! I said, yes, so. We're in trouble. We have to pray, brethren. The glory must come. Come now, draw near
to the enthroned in majesty. Bless his name with their full heart. Come and bow down,
come and bow down
to the Lamb of strength and majesty.
Draw near.
Come and draw near.
stand, bow to the greatness of His throne.
Hallelujah!
Lift up your voice, the splendor of His majesty, now blessing and
in this army that's going to bring the glory. You see, I've come to see now that this question of the glory is not a question of a choice. We are facing, I'm going to use the words of Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, we are facing an existential threat. If we don't do something about this thing, it's going to come and meet us. God forbid. You have to see it like that too. It's not just something that's happening far away in America. If we don't do something about this darkness, it will gradually creep in. You know, we have them in Nigeria too. It's just they don't have a voice yet. They will never have a voice in Jesus' name. And another thing you need to know, we're going to pray in a minute. Another thing you need to know is that the natural man, I'm talking about the man who's not born, who doesn't have the Holy Ghost and doesn't understand. Do you understand? They are natural. They are weak. If they put economic pressure on them, they will start tilting. And that's why you find the Western nations, whenever this issue comes up, they will apply economic. And when you can't pay salary, you don't have something, you too, you start evolving in your thinking. God forbid. You say, after all, Obama is not a bad man. Maybe we should look at their point of view. He's the devil. Through the thoughts. One must not be dogmatic. One must not be. We have to be flexible. You know, after all, you know, this is the kind of stupid arguments you hear. You people are left handed and right handed. That's it, all. Some people are left handed. Some people, so maybe it's just a preference. And before you know it, the devil, some people will even tell you it's genetic. All nonsense genetic. Even if you see it inside the Jesus, Satan who put it there. Don't believe only what you can see. When God made the original, it was not so. If you see anything inside the genes has been distorted. That's why we have to pray. You have to see the urgency of the hour. We have to dispel this darkness now. It will not affect our children. No. It will not affect our grandchildren. Imagine, you know, by the time our grandchildren start coming, they will start, you know, if God forbid, these things that are happening, they'll start seeing them rubbish inside school. They'll start seeing it on the internet. Now let's say, daddy, what's wrong with this person who has two daddies? What's wrong with this one who has two mummies? Daddy, why are you so discriminatory? Oh, yes. The grandchildren will start thinking like that. As I say, what's wrong with you? You're too stiff in you're not flexible. After all, you know, Susan in some class, Susan, so I met them in America, and she has two mummies. Daddy, what's wrong with that? Granddad, what's wrong with that? You know, my grandchildren are going to be born in America. What? I said, their head is not correct. On the joking side, you know, William and they said, daddy, their children are coming to life for themselves. Of course, they are coming to life. He said, I don't want them to fill their head with nonsense. What nonsense? But this is what will happen if we don't pray. Your children and grandchildren will start questioning what you have always known to be right. Let's see it. See it afar off. And don't let it come near it. Exactly. Take the battle to the gate. Koniwa ba wambio. Ani koniwa ba wambio. In our language, that means he will not come and meet us here. Everybody, put your hand on your heart and raise your other hand to God. Your praying is an existential threat. It's an existential threat to the church. We're not dealing with child's play here. This is Satan at his best. You know why? It has all the outward appearance of being reasonable. Intellectual. That's why the Bible says, let no man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And the Bible says, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity every thought. The Amplified Bible says, all kinds of reasonings. We're not dealing with natural thing here, we're dealing with a spiritual force. And this is he's smart. Corrupted wisdom, quite all right, but summing up the sum of wisdom. He has brought it very subtly, very cleverly, and he has all the outward appearances of being humane, of being nice, of being reasonable. Alone, Joe. Hand up. If you have never prayed before, you will pray this afternoon. You will pray this afternoon. We must drive this thing away. We must take the battle to the gate. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, showing me that it is my duty. It is my duty as a Christian, as the light of the world, as the salt of the earth, to be used by you, to use my faith to subdue the kingdoms now by the manifestation of your glory, whose light will dispel the current gross darkness that is gradually enveloping the nations. Oh God, oh God, here I am. Send me. Nika shofrin ingla marasufrin. Likamna matufrin ingas. In Jesus' name. We're going to pray in a minute for our health. Put 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. In the Amplified. Inasmuch. And I particularly Life for Children and all the children here. Listen to this thing that I'm saying. And even the adults. The battleground is the mind. This is one of the cleverest strategies of the devil. And that's why the Holy Spirit said, go and check and put it and let him read it. Inasmuch as we refute. Brethren, let's go to verse 4. Go to verse 4 first. We'll do this, then we'll pray for healing, and then we'll close. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Verse 5. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings. Everybody say arguments, theories and reasonings, and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive. Stop. What does the word captive imply? It's a military word. You capture. You know, when you're fighting in a war, you capture the enemy. You put them in handcuffs or you put them in something, and then you lead them into a jail or something. Now, you know what we're capturing now? Thoughts. As those thoughts are flying in the air and are flying in the minds of people, we move in the spirit. Amen. And the power of the Holy Spirit, the angels of God, will not capture the thoughts and get it out. We lead every thought and every purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Give the Lord a clap offering. The healing scripture. I can see the children are ready. You know, put the healing scripture on. See, brethren, this thing is a very serious battle. I think about my children. I think about my grandchildren. Not born yet, but on the way. And I tell you, is this what they're going to tell them? And you know, the funny is that a child's mind is tabula rasa. Abby, honey, it's an open tabula rasa. Thank you. It's an open mind, And the first things it hears are what it believes. Because that's why the Bible, Jesus said, except we come like little children. What they tell them? He goes to school and the teacher tells him, it's okay. Then that child already has a stronghold you are going to meet when you get home. And then you come and say, they say, Grandpa, you're old fashioned. You don't understand. The youth of America and the UK and now Ireland, because if you look at that referendum, it's the young people. The youth have been, Satan has captured their thinking. Many of them are not homosexuals themselves, but they think, well, come on, you know, live and let live. Arguments, theories, every high and lofty thing, we have to take it captive. Put your hand on your body. Children, stand up, put your hand on your body. I'm going to pray for our health, healing and health. Say, Father, we confess our sins, so we clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I have been legally set free. I have been legally set free from sickness and disease. They do not have a legal right in my body, and I will not permit them by the power of God's word and the power of the Holy Spirit. I declare that by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection, life and power, I am healed. I release resurrection, healing power into my body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, into my heart, my liver, my kidneys, all my internal organs, all my blood vessels, into every cell, the nucleus of every cell of my body. I command the DNA to function error free. I say, I am healed. I live in divine health. I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name. Join hands with somebody as we share the grace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to everybody, say, you're praying in the glory to subdue the nations.